Welcome to this message from the pulpit of West Main Baptist Church in Alexandria, Tennessee. This message is by Pastor Ben Simpson. To find out more about our church and its ministries, visit us on the web at westmainbaptist.com. Now may the Lord bless you in the hearing of His holy word.
I'm going to read from Ephesians 2nd chapter 19 through 22. Just stand with me, please. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, and in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit.
Well, pray with me this morning as we approach the Word of God. Father, we bow before you and we thank you just once again for your Word. Father, we realize that that your Word is meant to shape us and to mold us, and we're to be what your Word has called us to be, because this is your plan. This is your plan for our lives. This is your plan for our church. This is your plan for our community, the entire world of all history. And so, Father, we surrender ourselves this morning to the authority of Scripture. Father, just help us this morning as we come, as we think on church membership. Father, what it means and what it's about, and it's glorious. Help us to see it how you see it. It's true that Christ died for the church, yet so many of those who claim to be a follower of Christ don't have the same mindset and love for the church that Jesus did. And so, Father, this morning I pray that you would renew that and rekindle that. Father, help us to understand this morning what it means to be a member of the church. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, I'm sure that every one of you, over the past years and as you've grown up, maybe you did it more as a child, or maybe you've done it more as you've retired, you've had the opportunity to work on a jigsaw puzzle. How many of y'all love jigsaw puzzles? You got any? Yeah, a lot of you. Wow. Very good. Some of you love them. And you could work on them all day, couldn't you? I mean, you just can't get enough of them. But others of you, maybe more like me, they're aggravating. You know, up in our room upstairs there, we have a whole thing of puzzles for the kids. And Zachariah, he's not as bad, but Elijah, his favorite thing to do is to throw the puzzle pieces out, right? He doesn't care about putting them together. He just wants to throw them out. And so then Mom and I have to go upstairs and put them all together. And so puzzles right now are pretty aggravating for me. But either way you look at, you know, whatever your opinion is, they're pretty interesting, aren't they? I mean, how they fit together, so many pieces, sometimes even thousands. Did you know that you can buy on the internet puzzles that are like 24,000 pieces? That's amazing, right? No two pieces is alike, and none of them have the same content on them. Yet when they come together, when they fit together, they make a beautiful picture, don't they? A masterpiece, maybe something like this right here. You can see the masterpiece there, right? That's the Mona Lisa in puzzle form. I submit to you all this morning that the church is very much the same way, right? We all come in different shapes and sizes, backgrounds, ages, attitudes, ethnicities, skills, abilities, even from some different subcultures, right? I mean, maybe some of us were raised in the north and now we've moved down to the south. Those are different subcultures colliding sometimes, don't they? They collide. And we've all come together. I mean, standing alone, man, you're pretty good. I'm pretty good. We're okay by ourselves. But I want you to get what God is doing. When God puts us together, we become a masterpiece. When He fits us together, much like this picture of West Main Baptist Church. I don't know if you can tell it on the screen there, but that's a picture of the church in puzzle pieces, right? And you can see there's some parts missing, and there's some parts that are being added. But I want you to think this morning of the church in that way, right? That we are being fitted together. The Apostle Paul says in our text that we're being fitted together for something. Not just something plain, but he says something glorious. Look what he says there. Look what he says. Look, read it with me again. So then you're no longer strangers and aliens, but you're fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles. Notice the building here. Notice being fitted together. And prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building is being fitted together. Notice what he's building us toward. Growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you're also being fitted together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Paul says that together, you and I, as different as we are being fitted together to be a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. In other words, a place where the Spirit of God is manifest to the world. That's what he's fitting us together for. Now, if you look at the context here, Paul is primarily talking about the church universal, right? He's talking about how Gentiles and Jews are being brought together. But I think it has the context of the local church in mind as well, right? Because that's where the rubber meets the road. That's where Jews and Gentiles, blacks and whites, uneducated and educated, and rich and poor, and whatever else you want to say there, come together to manifest the glory of God as we're being fitted together into a dwelling place of the Spirit, as the Spirit of God. Notice that, being fitted together. It points to interconnectedness. It points to belonging. It points to fellowship. It points to common mission. In other words, it points to church membership. And so that's what we're going to focus on the next few sermons tonight, next Sunday, and then next Sunday night. So four messages basically based around church membership. Church membership, and I pray that you would see this, is one of God's greatest gifts to you, one of God's greatest graces to you. It sounds glorious, doesn't it? But something has went terribly wrong, particularly in our convention. I can't talk about the United Methodists. I can't talk about the Pentecostals. I can't talk about the Church of God or any other denomination, the Presbyterians or any of them. I'm going to talk about us for a minute here. Within the Southern Baptist Convention, something has went terribly wrong. The 2007 annual church profile. I want you to hear this. I want you to grasp this. The 2007 annual church profile is where all the churches of the Southern Baptist Convention, we put our numbers together and we say, this is how many people we have and this is what happened and so on and so forth. And we send it to Nashville and they compile all the stats and then they publish the stats. When 2007, the Southern Baptist Convention boasted 16,266,920 members. Now that's pretty good, isn't it? And that makes us the largest evangelical denomination in the world. The largest evangelical denomination in the world. But then it reads on. It reads on. That same 2007 annual church profile declared that in a typical week, only 6,148,868 members attend a service of any sort. There are 16 million plus members in the Southern Baptist Convention, but only 6 million go to church anywhere during the year. That's astounding. That's alarming, right? That's alarming. Membership has become meaningless. That's 38%. I recently ran across the stats of one of the larger churches in our area here. They say that they have 2,300 members. That's a lot of members. That's a very large church. But then they say this. On an average Sunday, we have 1,000 in the pews. 2,300 members, but only 1,000 in the pews. Only 1,000 pews. That's 43%. And that's shocking. That's shocking. Membership has become meaningless. But I don't want to leave us out. West Main Baptist Church, 314 members on the roster, but only 139 of our members have attended a service in the past year. Only 139 of 314. That's 44% of our membership, which means that 56% of those who claim membership as West Main Baptist Church member haven't even set foot on our property, much less attend a service in a year. And so I ask you this morning, West Main Baptist Church, Does that trouble you? I mean, we can go over stats all day, but does that trouble you? Does that bother you? Does that bother you? It should. Listen, next Sunday marks my second anniversary as pastor here. Next Sunday, the second Sunday of September, was the Sunday that I came in 2008. That means that basically, as the pastor, I have never met, it's not because I haven't tried, but I haven't met about half of the people who say they're members of West Main Baptist Church. I've visited some of them, but a lot of them, we don't even know where they are. They're right there. Maybe they're in other churches, and that's fine. That's well and good. Amen. But many of them aren't just going, they're just not going anywhere. They're just not going anywhere. If these statistics don't trouble you, then in your heart and mind, membership has become meaningless. It's become nothing more than having your name on a roll. And that's not what church membership's about, right? That's not what it's about. It actually means something. What would your spouse think? What would your spouse think if you said, "I do, honey," and you signed y'all's marriage certificate, and you never moved in with her, you never lived with her, you never talked with her, you never ate a meal with her, you never went anywhere with her? That would be a strange marriage, wouldn't it? Your spouse would be pretty upset with you, right? They would be dumbfounded. They'd be heartbroken because that would be a meaningless marriage. The ceremony meant nothing to you. Now listen, I know that church membership isn't marriage, right? I mean, it's not on that level of commitment. But it's still weighty, it's still serious, it's supposed to actually mean something, okay? So that's what I want to do this morning. I want to answer the big question this morning is, what does church membership mean, right? If it's become meaningless, I pray this morning that we as a congregation would have the meaning restored, and that it wouldn't just be something that's sort of an intellectual exercise, but that it would be something that would touch our hearts. Because God is doing something amazing amongst us, or at least He desires to. So the first thing, we'll look at four things this morning. First, church membership means that you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. Right? It's not just a name on a paper. It means that you are proclaiming to have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. In other words, salvation is a prerequisite. It's a requirement for church membership. It means that you understand you're a sinner. And we've got to say that up front, right? In order to be a church member, in order to be saved even, you've got to understand that you are a sinner, right? Often the world thinks, well, I've got to get good enough before I go to church. And that's the wrong kind of thinking, right? You don't get healed before you go to the hospital. And so you don't get holy before you go to church, right? We come together because none of us are holy. Because all of us are sinners. And together we push each other to greater and greater heights in the Lord. And so the church member, it means that you understand that you are a sinner. Of course, the Bible makes it abundantly clear, doesn't it? Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God," it says. Romans 5:12, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned." Romans 5:18, "Through one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men." So the Bible makes it clear, but you know what? Something can be true and you not know it. Right? There are a lot of truths out in the world I don't know, right? I mean, I didn't know a lot of things until someone taught me, until I was told. And so there are many people in the world that have no idea that they are a sinner. The concept hasn't even entered their brain. And it's our job to go help them see it. It's true, they just don't know it. They're in danger. They just don't know it. But something can also be true, and you know it, but you just don't care. Now, that's where a lot of the world is, right? I mean, wouldn't we agree? They know that they do wrong, I mean, they have a conscience. God has given them a conscience, and praise God that He has. And their conscience condemns them, but they just don't care. It doesn't bother them. But for the church member, it bothers you. You know you're a sinner, right? And yes, you still sin, but your sin bothers you. Right? Your sin and your knowledge, you realize that you've sinned against God. Right? You realize that there's great penalty for your sin, and your sin and your knowledge of sin has caused you to realize that you need a Savior. Right? I mean, that's one of the things here, right? It's caused you to understand you need a Savior. We don't just realize that we're a sinner. We realize that Jesus Christ is our only hope. Right? Jesus Christ, for the church member, you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. You said to the world, I hate my sin. I love Jesus. And by His grace alone, I believe that His death covers my sin. That's what church membership declares to the world. You realize that the only way you'll make it to heaven is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And again, the Bible makes it clear, right? Jesus is the only hope of the world. He's the only Savior of the world. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus said. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so the church member realizes, they declare to the world, Jesus is my Savior. I have no hope in this world, in the next life or this one, except for Him. But He's not just Savior. For the church member, He's also Lord. I love the first line of the hymn, Lead Me to Calvary. Y'all remember that song? Of course you do. King of my life, I crown thee now. Now picture that in your brain. That is a great line. Because before we come to Jesus, we wear the crown. I'm my own God. I'm my own man. I'm my own woman. I do what I want to do. But when the Lord moves in on you, and you're convicted of your sin, you desire, you want, you choose to trust Christ, and you take that crown off. And you say, I want you to be King, Jesus. I want you to lead me. I want you to show me, King of my life, I crown thee now. In other words, Jesus, I surrender my life to you. I surrender my life to you. I'll go wherever you tell me to go. I'll say whatever you want me to say. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll think whatever you want me to think. And I'll be who you want me to be, and all the glory is yours. That's what we say to Jesus. And so being a church member means that you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. That's the first meaning. The second thing I want us to look at is that church membership means that you've been baptized. In other words, again, baptism is a prerequisite, right? It's a requirement for church membership. I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but that's why we do our baptisms at the beginning of the service, and we vote people into the church at the end. Baptism comes before church membership, right? It comes before. Baptism must come first. Now, we get our marching orders from Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20 on baptism, where Jesus told us, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, I don't know if you've noticed or not, but I love baptism. When I get in those waters, someone said, Brother Ben, you look like you're choke slamming them. whoosh, right? I think it was Jimmy that I baptized, and the whole back pew was drenched when I was done. I mean, all the men left with wet britches when they got out of the choir. That's because baptism, all the meaning wrapped up in baptism is beautiful. It means that this person has come from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Baptism doesn't save them, but it's a declaration, it's a symbol of what has happened in them spiritually. And so I love baptism. I don't just immerse, I plunge. Amen. Amen. You see, baptism serves two purposes, and I want you to think on this morning. Baptism serves two purposes. First, it is a symbol, as I just said a moment ago. As a symbol, think about this with me. It's a beautiful representation of what happens spiritually in a person, right? It pictures that old sinful man or woman going down into the grave, dying, and being raised out of the grave anew. That's beautiful, right? That's regeneration. That's resurrection of the Spirit is what that pictures. But it also pictures being cleansed. Just like when the boys go out and play in the dirt pile and the mud hole, they come in, mom and dad give them a bath. And so it pictures the sin and the crud of a person's life being washed away. Again, the water doesn't do it, but it's a picture of what's happened spiritually already. And so it's a symbol, but baptism isn't just a symbol, it's also a proclamation. Now think about this with me. For the one being baptized, baptism is actually that person's public profession of faith. When they declare to the world that they have been saved by Jesus Christ. Now, certainly over the last two centuries, much confusion has been brought into the church to the point where we think that walking the aisle is a person's confession of faith. It is not. It is not. Walking the aisle is a 19th century invention by the likes of people like Charles Finney and men of that rank. Let me ask you this. Did Peter say in Acts 2:32, repent and each of you walk the aisle? He didn't say that, did he? He said, repent and what? Be baptized. Repent and be baptized, he said. Each of you in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. After hearing the gospel and believing on Christ, did the Ethiopian eunuch, did he ask Philip in Acts 8:36, well, what prevents me from walking the aisle? He didn't. He said, look, water, what prevents me from being baptized? And so, friend, baptism is your public profession of faith. It's a proclamation, not just for the person in the water, but it's a proclamation of the church that is baptizing the person. The church is saying, as best as we can understand, as best as we can discern, they are trusting in Christ alone and are saved. And so it's for this reason that we do not baptize babies. We do not baptize babies. Babies can't trust Christ, right? They can't trust Christ. We baptize only those who have made a profession of faith in Christ. And it's for this reason, that we should baptize a person only once after they have been truly converted. It's just, how many times can a person be saved? How many? Once. How many times should a person be baptized after they have truly been saved? Once. Now, I know there are false conversions. I know that's the testimony of some of you in this congregation. You thought you were saved. You thought you had trusted Christ, and so you were baptized. But later in life, you said, I don't know Jesus, and Jesus doesn't know me. And so you, for real this time, repented and trusted Christ, and so you got back in the water, and that was right. But once a person has been truly converted, truly been saved, they should be baptized only one time. Now listen, we do need to make a difference here between true or real baptism and false baptism, because, I mean, let's be honest, there are unbiblical beliefs out there about baptism. So what is a true baptism? What is a valid baptism? And I would say there are three things. First, a valid baptism is being baptized after you believed on Christ. That's one criteria for a biblical baptism. Two is that the church baptizing you did so as a symbolic act and not as necessary for salvation. Do you follow what I'm saying there? There are congregations who say, in order to be saved, you must be baptized. That's not a valid baptism, right? If it's only valid if the church that was doing it, they did it as a symbolic act and not as necessary for salvation. And the third criteria for a biblical baptism is that you were baptized by immersion. In other words, you went under the water and back up. Now notice this morning, I said nothing about a particular denomination. That's not of the utmost importance concerning a valid baptism. As long as a person's baptism meets all three of these criteria, it is a valid baptism. All right, so baby baptism is not true biblical baptism. Being baptized in order to be saved is not true biblical baptism. Being sprinkled is not true biblical baptism. Church membership means that you were baptized, that you have been baptized. You've declared to the world, Jesus Christ is my only hope. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. I'm going to follow Him till the day I die or He comes back. That's what church membership means. Third, church membership means that you affirm our church's articles of faith. Now we're getting more specific, right? A person can be saved and they can be baptized but not be a part of our local body. But now we're getting more specific here, right? Church membership means that you affirm our church's articles of faith. Now what is that? Maybe you're not used to that language, right? That's the summary of what this church understands the Bible to teach concerning the essential truths. Now I'm not going to read through them here this morning, but I just want you to know that you should. You should. I would encourage you to read them. Maybe you're a church member here and you've never even seen them. You don't even know what I'm talking about when I say the church's articles of faith. You should know them. Now listen, our articles, they don't address every doctrine, but they do address the most important ones, the most crucial ones to the Christian faith. Those are the ones that are dealt with. Why is that important? I mean, can't we just say the Bible is our doctrine? Well, it's true. The Bible is our doctrine. But the person down the road that lets a woman stand in the pulpit and preach says the same thing. The church down the road that puts a baby under the water for immersion, right, to be baptized, they say the same thing. Right? And so we have to be specific. We have to spell things out. Okay? And that's why we do it, right? A church must be united in doctrine. Must be. Especially a church that is ruled like our church. I mean, don't you realize that West Main Baptist Church is constituted as a democratic church, which means that we make decisions by majority around here. By majority. That means we're one vote away from being West Main Pentecostal Church. One vote away from being West Main Brethren Church. And I'm being serious here, right? Doctrinal unity is important. But even more than just being important as a safeguard, doctrinal unity, it's key to our happiness as a church. Flip with me to Ephesians 4. You're in Ephesians 2 right now, but flip with me. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. 11 through 16. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. Look what it says with me. And He gave some, that's God, and He gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, notice this, notice the happiness that's being built in here. As a result, we're no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, again notice, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the work proper of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Church membership means that you affirm the church's articles of faith. Finally, this morning, church membership means that you pledge to live out the church's covenant. You pledge to live out the church's covenant. Now, I chose that word on purpose, that you pledge to do it, because the Lord knows you're going to sin. I pledged to love Christy with all my heart, for better, for worse, for richer, for poor, until death do us part. But I don't do that perfectly all the time, but I've pledged to, and that's my aim, that's my goal. I'm so thankful for those who founded this church in 1976, right? They had the insight to include in our church document a church covenant. And to be honest, our church covenant, if you were to ask me, Brother Ben, what does it mean to be a member of West Main Baptist Church? I would hand that to them and say, this is what it means. This is where it spells out the duties and the expectations and the hopes, right? In our covenant, it consists all the promises that each member of West Main Baptist Church is making to each other as we strive together to love God and to love people. And I want to read it to you this morning. Please don't look at this as a dry exercise. Listen to what it says. And challenge yourself in this. I pray you'd rejoice in this. Here's what it says. Having been led, as we believe, by the Spirit of God to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and on the profession of our faith, having been baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, we so now in the presence of God and angels and this assembly, most seriously and joyfully enter into covenant with one another as one body in Christ. We promise, therefore, by the aid of the Holy Spirit, to walk together in Christian love, to strive for the advancement of this church in knowledge, holiness, comfort, and grace, to promote its prosperity and spirituality, to sustain its worship, ordinances, discipline, and doctrines, to contribute cheerfully and regularly by tithes and offerings to the support of our local church, the expenses of the ministry, the relief of the poor, and the spread of the gospel through all nations. We also promise to maintain family and personal devotions, to educate our children in the Christian faith and the Bible, to seek the salvation of our family, friends, and acquaintances, to walk wisely in the world, to be just in our dealings, faithful in our engagements, and exemplary in our actions and attitudes, to avoid tattling, gossip, unkind remarks, and excessive anger, to encourage and support each other in sustaining God's design for marriage as the uniting of one man and one woman in covenant commitment for a lifetime. If not married, to refrain from all sexual immorality and avoid living together intimately with another person so that the Bible's instruction for singleness is upheld. To abstain from the sale and use of intoxicating drinks, drugs, and pornography, and from all practices that jeopardize our own or another's faith. To be zealous in our efforts to advance the kingdom of our Savior. We further promise to watch over one another in brotherly love. To remember each other in prayer. To aid each other in sickness and distress. To cultivate Christian sympathy and feeling and courtesy in speech. To be slow to take offense, but always ready for reconciliation and mindful of the rules of our Savior to secure it without delay. We moreover promise that when we move from this congregation, we will, as soon as possible, unite with some of the church where we can carry out the spirit of this covenant and the principles of God's Word. Now, whether you knew it or not, when you said, I want to be a member of West Main Baptist Church, you signed that covenant. You might have not have done it with your hand, but you verbally did that. You verbally did that. That's what you promised to the other members. And if you've joined the church since I've been pastor, you've certainly read it, and you've certainly verbally affirmed it. Now let me ask you, isn't the covenant beautiful? I'm not talking about the wording. I'm talking about the promises in that. I mean, isn't that the type of people, the type of community that you want to be a part of? Man, I do. I want to be a part of where a person's going to pray for me and they're promising to. And they're going to uphold me and encourage me in truth and in life. Isn't that the kind of community that honors God and the Scripture? And I say amen. Amen. Absolutely, right? That is meaningful membership. But that also means that there are at least 175 of our church members who are not fulfilling their covenant promises. That should bother you. It should bother you. It should bother you. Listen to what it says in Hebrews 10, 23 through 25. It says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Friend, I declare to you this morning, church membership means something. It means something. It means that you pledge to live out at least our church's covenant. And so I can't, listen, maybe I've done a terrible job this morning expressing to you, I know I've not been adequate, in how important and how beautiful church membership is. It is glorious. It is beautiful. Listen to me, it affects your ministry. It affects your sanctification and growth. It affects your worship. And whether you know it or not, it affects your witness. It absolutely does. And so tonight I'm going to talk more about the importance of church membership. But I pray this morning that you would take church membership seriously. I pray not only would you take it seriously, but that you would celebrate it. Now, there are three groups of people in the church this morning. Three groups. The first group, you do not know Christ as your Savior. You've never turned from your sin, and you've never trusted Jesus. And if you're in that group this morning, then I pray that you would see, as I talked about how you are a sinner like me, and how you are deserving of death like me, I pray that you would see that Christ is your only hope, and He is. And if you're in that group this morning, I beg you, repent of your sin and believe on Christ. But the second group here this morning, you know Jesus Christ, and you're saved. But you're not a member of this congregation, right? Now, some of you in that group, you're not a member of any church. You're not a member of any church. You've never been a church member. I beg you this morning, please see one of our deacons or see me to talk about becoming a member of West Main Baptist Church. You're missing out on one of the greatest blessings that God has for your life. But there are others of you in this group. You're a member of another church. But you've been attending here regularly for a long time. And so I want to say this to you this morning. Why haven't you joined us yet? We would love to talk to you about covenanting with you, to joining with you in the advancement of the kingdom of God here in Alexandria. I beg you, if you're in this group, see me, talk to one of our deacons. We would love to get the ball rolling with you, talking to you about covenanting and joining our church. And the final group here this morning is those of you who know Jesus Christ, you're saved, and you're a member of West Main Baptist Church. For those of you that fit in that group, I pray that membership would mean more to you than simply having your name on the roll. I pray that you would take it seriously. I pray you would rejoice in it. And so here's my closing prayer. May the Lord richly bless us with meaningful membership.
Thank you for joining us for this message from Ben Simpson, pastor of West Main Baptist Church in Alexandria, Tennessee. If you would like more information about our church or about how you can obtain other messages, please call us at 615-529-2813. 615-529-2813. We are also on the internet at westmainbaptist.com. As we leave you, may you trust in Christ alone to the glory of God.